The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Men of Letters, a supernatural podcast.
This is Dad's single most valuable possession. Everything he knows about every evil thing is in here. He's passed it on to us. I think he wants us to pick up where he left off. You know, saving people, hunting things, the family business.
Storm's coming. Your boys, your daddy, you are smack in the middle of it.
House rules, Sammy. Driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole.
No chick flick moments.
All right, jerk, bitch.
That Constance chick, what a bitch!
Or you think it's you, cuss by the face, you freak.
Eat me. No, wait, you actually might.
Hope your apple pie is freaking worth it!
Welcome to Men of Letters, or MOL, for people who love abbreviations and acronyms. We are your hosts, Tim and Katie. Thank you for riding shotgun with us tonight as we tool down the highways and byways of America, hunting monsters and exploring things that go bump in the night with our favorite monster hunters, Sam and Dean. So buckle up, cupcakes, for tonight we ride. How are you doing tonight, Katie?
I'm pretty good, except for the cupcake part. Call me cupcake. What?
Everybody loves cupcakes. They're sweet and delicious.
Yeah, they are sweet and delicious, but... I don't do frosting on top.
Okay. That could be our name, Sweet and Delicious. Which one do you want to be?
I don't know. How about bitch?
Okay, jerk.
Okay.
Okay. So why don't you tell the listeners what our episodes will be covering tonight, jerk?
What we're going to be covering is Hookman and then Bugs.
So, yeah. So
and how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm peachy keen. I pulled a muscle in my back trying to move a piece of furniture, so I'm got a little bit of a muscle.
Why did you call
on.
Your wife a piece of furniture? That is not nice.
Ooh.
Telling.
Yeah, too bad she doesn't listen to this episode. Woohoo! Like, my wife listens to my podcast.
She ain't got time for that.
Yeah, she ain't. We got time for that. We hope you have time for it. But no, I'm doing fine other than the fact that I pulled a muscle trying to move. A tall dresser, and I did it by myself across carpet, you know, from hardwood floor to carpet, and yeah, I'm all right. I should have took the drawers out first. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and we all know that you're old, so it really does impair
yeah.
your situation when you try to do stuff like yeah. that.
I'm so
you're
old.
Old.
Back in my day, we had to walk up the hill both ways to school.
Mm-hmm. So, exactly.
Yeah, so anyway, that's how I'm doing. I took a little bit of a muscle relaxer, so if I start to trip over my own words, you know why. So anyway, that's how I'm doing. So how are you? I think I asked that already, but...
You did ask me that. We need to get this rolling, because yes. I don't know how much longer you're going to last.
I'm really not going to last.
Is what she long. Said.
Oh, it's funny because it's true. Okay, so before we get this party started, let's roll that commercial trailer. I'm sorry, I'm tripping the light fantastic. So, okay, let's get this party started. But first, before we roll that commercial trailer for Hookman, let's take a quick Speakeasy Podcast Network commercial break for the very fine fellows at the Junk Drawer Podcast.
Hey guys, what are you doing?
Sit down, man. Crack a beer. I'm just telling Feeler about how Vlad the Impaler used to shove steaks up donkeys' asses.
Dude, this dude is so fucking gross, but it's so fucking awesome.
It sure is, buddy.
If you want to learn about everything from Vlad the Impaler to anime to rap feuds, join us here at the Junk Drawer Podcast.
That's right. Crack a beer, learn a little, and we'll talk about...
our junk!
Yeah, we're gonna do that.
You can find us at thedrunkdrawerpod.podbean.com and at thespeakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. Also, we're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junk Drawer.
Well, we're back, and I gotta tell you, when I'm making my way to and from Minneapolis to Illinois, I always throw in a couple episodes of JDP on the old iPod and do some binge listening. You'll be certainly laugh and probably learn something new. I know I do. And props and congrats in order as well, as they had the featured podcast on Podbean a few weeks ago. And it's well deserved. So, way to go, JDP. So, Katie, you want to roll the trailer for the Hookman?
You want me to roll it?
Yeah, kick it.
Tuesday, discover.
What was that?
The weirdest urban legend.
Why would the Hookman come here?
Is real. Supernatural on the WB Tuesday.
Right, I'm gonna wreck right now. Okay, so Hookman, Sam and Dean head to Ankeny, Iowa to investigate the brutal death of a college student and the victim's girlfriend, Lori. Jane McGregor says that the attacker was invisible. More attacks occur with the victim seemingly connected to the girl. The brothers believe that the killer is the Hookman, and research indicates that it is the vengeful spirit of Jacob Carnes, a preacher who murdered 13 prostitutes in 1862 with the hook that replaced his lost hand and was later put to death for his crimes. Despite the man being buried in an unmarked grave, Dean manages to locate it and burn his bones, but it has no effect. To stop the spirit, they must destroy the hook, which was reforged into an unknown object by the church after Carnes' death. In order to be sure, they burn everything silver in the church, but it doesn't stop the Hookman. Lori and the brothers are confronted by the Hookman. As they fight him, Sam realizes that Lori's cross necklace given to her by her reverend father is made of silver, and the spirit vanishes once it is burned.
Ooh.
Yeah, they should have just called this Hooker Man instead of
Hooker Man. Yeah, it would have been a lot more fun. Oh, sorority girls, that's hot, and the reverend's daughter, that's even hotter. Ugh, not really. It isn't.
Yeah, she's not that hot. It's not even like hot librarian. It's sad.
Well, and you know what's weird is that the Internet Movie Database episode rating by fans is currently at 8.1 out of 10 possible stars, which I think that's a little high for this episode.
I agree.
I'm
really surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a super awful episode, but it wasn't really up to snuff with the previous few episodes, and I'm like, I just kind of felt a little gypped out of it.
Yeah.
But there are a couple things I did like. I liked the opening sequence with the Reverend's daughter, or Lori, and played by Jane McGregor, and the her boyfriend. Was it Dead End Lane, where he was brutally attacked and killed, and she witnessed the whole thing by the invisible man. I did like that, but other than that, the rest of it was just kind of forgettable, honestly, and it's sad. But I don't know, how do you feel?
I don't know. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't awful, but yeah, it wasn't great. It's, you know, it was a mid-grade, I feel like it was like a filler episode. Like, they had these two great episodes beforehand, like Bloody Mary was really wonderful, and Skin was super creepy and great. It's kind of as if they lost a little steam, maybe, with this one. They were like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like they hit a peak, and this certainly was a valley.
either that or, like, there was a different writer for this episode, because I know some, you know, writers have different styles or whatever. Now, and then
this was directed by David Jackson, so I'm not really, I don't know a whole hell of a lot about him, but I know that he was given some extra time by Eric Kripke, because Eric Kripke wasn't very happy with the episode as it was before, so he gave him a few more weeks. So so this episode was actually supposed to air sooner than it had originally done. It was supposed to go in like episode maybe, I think, 4 or 5, and they gave him a few extra weeks to try to like build suspense and some kind of drama. And I would hate to see what this episode looked like before he got the extra time on it. But I want to say that there were a couple of bright spots, or maybe one bright spot for me. Being a huge Frasier fan, Bulldog Briscoe actually plays the Reverend in here.
It
was what I'm trying to think of his name. I'm trying to look him up real quick. It was Dan Butler. He played Reverend Sorensen, and he's known for his role as Bulldog Briscoe, the sports DJ on Frasier's radio station.
Yeah, and he does that. That was a good. I mean, he's. The difference in characters is noticeable, and he did a great job on that show, I feel.
Yeah, and he was the bright spot of that, and we get a little more emphasis, a little bit more talk about searching for the father, for Sam and Dean's father. John. Now, if you had got your hands on the DVDs, there's actually some extra scenes that were cut out of the episode, and basically Sam is on a payphone on these extra scenes that got cut out of the episode, and he's talking to he's posing another police officer. His name is Francis something or other, and that's when you see him come back on the edited episode, the when they edited out, where he's coming back from the payphone, and he says, "Your half calf, you know, latte is good to go, Francis." It's because Francis was the nickname or the name, the fake name that they gave to the police officers to try to search for his father. It was kind of interesting a little bit, but that's pretty much it. Like I said, this episode was, like you said, it felt like a filler episode, like definitely a throwaway episode.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I mean, they started out with this girl's getting ready, and then her slutty roommate is like, "Put this on instead," and then they go to the makeout place, mm-hmm. and it was just, I felt it was a little bit stressed. Even when she got out of the car after, like, most of the drama and noise of that scene had happened, mm-hmm. her scream was real, I don't know.
Almost out of place a little bit.
Yeah. Like
it was delayed. It was a delayed scream. It was
slightly delayed, but it also seemed like the kind of thing that future episodes with Sam and Dean would have made fun of.
Yeah, you know, it almost felt to me like almost like a parody of itself, like when you see the Scream movies, like the opening sequence before they actually get into the movies, the opening kill. That's how it felt. I mean, I know that all the episodes kind of run the same thing, but this felt kind of like a parody. But
yeah,
So we see that she screams. We see Sam and Dean, you know, discussing their father, trying to find their father. He doesn't want to be found. They show up at the frat house saying that they're transfer students from another chapter of the same fraternity.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite parts of when they get out of the car and there are these dudes working on the cars. And the one guy has got, like, he's eating a banana, you know? And, like, Dean called, he's like, they're total just douchebags. They just look like douchebags, all these, like, frat boys. Who eats a banana while working on a car? Like, really? No. Not even, like, if I'm helping my husband work on a car, you know, I'm not going to have a banana.
You go for the soft serve ice cream.
Oh, my God. I'm probably not even going to have anything I can, like, touch with my hand. Maybe I would be eating a popsicle because it'd be 100 degrees outside when you're working on a car. Or maybe I'd have, like, a Slurpee or a Frosty or something. But a fucking banana?
He needs his potassium, okay?
Yeah, I guess, you big baby. Yeah, so that was funny. And then I liked when they went upstairs and they were talking to the kid who's trying to paint himself purple.
Yeah, we got a big game, dude. It's like
raw, I know. Hardcore. I was like, okay, Grimace, good job. Dean says, you missed a spot.
Yeah. Oh, the things he can do with a brush. He's the artist.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not touching this guy. Sam is going to, he'll paint you.
Yeah.
And then he told him he missed a spot, which, you know. That's classic Dean.
So, yeah, the brothers then head over to the church, and they meet Lori after the service, and she gives them a rundown on what happened, yada, yada, yada. I guess, was it the dean takes the Reverend Sorensen away so Sam can talk to Lori and kind of, like, pump her for information. And, yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. And then, you know, they're going to the library after they hit the church, and then they... what is it, 9 Mile Road, I think?
Yeah, 9 Mile Road, yeah. And it was a previous episode, I'm sorry, I'm getting confused between episodes, where the computers were down, because they wanted to do some research, and no, the computers weren't down this episode, so...
It wasn't down, it was that they had, I don't know if it was because it was a small town, or it was a college library, they had all these boxes full mm-hmm. of stuff, it was super dusty, and, you know, Dean commented to Sam regarding, is this what you did? Is, like, this what... You know, college right. is all about.
Yep. This is how you spent, what was it, 4 good years of your life?
Yeah, right. And then he said something like, nice job, Dr. Venkman, which I like that little nod to.
Ghostbusters, yes. So they're doing some, you know, the classic research with a little montage, and they look into arrests going back to, in the town going back to the 1850s, and they find one preacher in the 1860s who went off the deep end and killed 13 prostitutes in the red light district. And he was missing a hand, and it was replaced by a silver hook, which was a murder weapon, and all this happened on the same road. The frat boy was
Oh my god.
On. Like, seriously, oh my god.
The muscle relaxer is totally working.
Yeah, I'm just...
Oh, and it had that symbol on it, remember? So yeah. They were studying, they see the picture, and it has this unusual symbol. It's kind of like a cross, but it has a circle and little other little marks on it.
Yes, that will come into play later, boys and girls, so just be on the lookout.
Pay attention.
Oh, yes, it's foreshadowing, as they say.
Right. Love me some foreshadowing.
So then the brothers go to investigate some more, go to the murder scene, and Sam and Dean are, this is the first time we see them carry the shotgun's loaded with rock salt, you know, because rock salt is a spirit deterrent. It won't kill the ghost or spirit, but it'll slow them down. Because, you know, salt is pure and yada, 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 yada.
Right.
They are caught by the local sheriff, and Dean is arrested. I mean, Sam is arrested.
No, Sam's arrested. Yes. And because they say, so they arrest him because he's the one with the firearm.
Right, right.
And but then you cut back to Lori and her dad in the car.
Right, right.
And arguing.
About it was, I guess it was Sunday night dinner or something like that, and he wanted her to stay there with him.
Right, and because it's not safe, and, you know, her, I know what you get up to with that roommate of yours kind of attitude, and...
Yes, very judgmental.
Yeah, super judgy, and I mean, you know, her roommate is kind of a skink, but whatevs.
Yeah.
Not as skinky as the girls from... What was it, Bloody Mary? Yeah, not like that. This one's like a different kind of skank. Yeah. Maybe she's a hoe. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. That's the difference,
so,
I think.
Nobody's riding a douche canoe just yet.
No. Just those guys with their banana in a fucking car. Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, whatever. That's just... Oh, my God. The guy probably doesn't even... He's, like, pretending to look at the car. You know how guys want to, like, look cool for their friends sometimes? I feel like this guy had the banana, and he's pretending to know what his friend is talking about, and, like, standing over the car, nodding, and, like, pointing at something inside. It's like, you don't know shit. You got a banana in your hand.
I'm surprised they didn't make a banana tailpipe joke from Beverly Hills Cop. Come on, it was right there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, too easy.
Yes.
All right. So, Sam is arrested, and
he's arrested. You cut to the car scene. Mm-hmm. You go inside, and she's like walking along. She sees one of the girls in the frat house, but then like she sees a scratch on the wall.
Right.
But doesn't really pay any attention to it.
Right. And, it's like, and the scratch goes past like another girl in the dorm doing her homework, I guess, on the laptop.
Yeah. But then she goes into the bathroom. And after she asks her roommate if she's awake, but she's not. And then you cut back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when you cut. So it's like I feel with this episode, there's so much cutting back and forth. It's real quick cuts.
Yeah.
So... They're in the frat house.
Right.
They cut to the church. They cut to the library. They cut to the car with Lori and her dad. Mm-hmm. They cut into the dorm room. Then they that's when they cut back to the boys in the car near where everything happened. That's the Rexall shots, and Sam gets arrested.
Okay.
And then it cuts back to Lori's room.
Right, and she's already in bed going to sleep.
Yes, and then it's like she wakes up and it says, "Aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light?" Right. And like blood.
Right, and we find out that Lori screams again because her roommate has been brutally murdered, and yes, and we see that there's that exact symbol from the Hook Man. And so the next morning, like you said, morning.
No, no, no.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
You cut back to the station.
Oh, okay.
Where Sam and Dean. See, this is like, this really bothered me. So I made like super notes of all the cutting.
Okay.
So they cut to the station. Dan gets Sam out of jail and says, it was a dumbass pledge.
Yeah.
And then they cut back to Lori and her dad with the cops, and he wants to take her home because of what happened to the roommate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not to be a butthead right now, but I need to count this because it was making me insane.
Go ahead.
Wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Just in what we just listed.
So, and that's quite a bit for a 42-minute episode.
Right. That's within probably the first, not even 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that bothered me. I'm sorry.
No, no.
Now that I got it out of my system.
Yeah, this is really, like I said, this episode was not really a huge highlight for me at all.
No, and maybe that's why, Kripke was so unhappy that they had to cut back and forth so they could get some of the stuff told, but I feel like it could have been done more effectively in a different way without cutting scenes back and forth so often.
Right. And there's actually, like you mentioned, Dean talks Sam out, down to a fine because he sees a dumbass pledge who was out there, hunting ghosts with rock salt.
Right.
And he's like, they bought these? Well, you do look kind of like a dumbass pledge. So.
Yes.
So that was funny. I did like that.
The Dean quips are always good.
Yes.
And I think that's what keeps the show.
Yes. So yeah, as you mentioned, that the brothers then drive by and see Lori sitting in the back of an ambulance, and the Reverend is talking to the police, saying either like charge her or release her. I want to take her home. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, make sure she's available for questioning. Blah blah blah. You know, Sam and Dean sneak around the back of the sorority, then climb up to the second window to sneak a peek at the crime scenes.
But they park next to a fire hydrant. Like really. Really?
I've seen the episode. Honestly, not because I like it so much, just because I've watched it at the gym or whatever. It was on TNT or whatever. I've probably seen that episode maybe a dozen times. I've never noticed them parking next to a...
Oh my God, that was like the first thing. I don't know if it's my ADHD or what, but I'm like, dude, it's a fire hydrant. That's a no-no.
You're trying to be inconspicuous.
I know, and it's like the... Just, stick a red flag on top of your car, dummy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were like, you know how they always say, oh, like in later episodes, how it's like, yeah, they have warrants and tickets and whatever across the country or whatever. I don't know if this is like somehow laying the groundwork for that. But I found that this like little piece of them parking next to a fire hydrant. Yeah. And then jumping into the house was completely unnecessary.
Right.
Like, what does that fire hydrant have to do with anything? Yeah. Nothing. Just like that stupid fucking banana. Sorry. I'm a little salty about this episode. Can you tell?
Yeah, that's okay. I'm more salty about the next episode, but I get it. I get it. I understand. I feel your pain. But no. So the whole point, I think, it was for Dean to make the one joke. He was like, "Dude, you think we'll see a pillow fight? You know, like
Animal House or something."
Yeah, I'm like, okay, Dean, sure. Anyway, so they sneak in, and Sam and Dean notice that the wording on the scratching of the walls and the symbol matches the symbol that they found in the book, and that now they realize they are dealing with the Hook Man, and they're like, all right, we need to salt and burn his bones. They realize that I'm skipping around a little bit, but they finally realize that the Hook Man is built was buried in a pauper's grave, unmarked.
Yeah,
but. It was marked to a certain degree because Dean was able to find the symbol etched on the gravestone.
The
tombstone. So while Dean is in the cemetery, about to torch, salt, and burn the bones, which is what you do because that's what you do.
That's like
an evil spirit, yeah. Sam is staking out Lori Sorensen's house. And we see Lori and the Reverend having a fight, and she walks at the front door. She said, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm keeping an eye on you, making sure you're safe. She goes, oh, that's sweet, blah, 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 about the kiss. All of a sudden, Reverend Sorensen comes out the front door to continue the fight, and basically she says, go back in. Then that's when the Hook Man appears and pulls Reverend Sorensen into the house. Sam and Laura give chase, were able to fend off the spirit, but the Reverend was stabbed.
Yeah,
but
he was already jacked up.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's alive, but hurt.
He ends up in the hospital. Well, I think that they thought that it was the Reverend kind of doing some stuff because it was, the 9 Mile thing with the boyfriend and then the slutty girlfriend, so they think maybe it's, some kind of spirit attached to him, and then when he gets jacked up, they're like, oh, guess it's not that.
Yeah. At one point, they think that the Hookman's spirit is attaching itself subconsciously to the Reverend.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And
look at you with your words.
I have the best words.
All your words bring the girls to the yard.
Oh, if only that were true.
Not when you call your wife a piece of furniture.
What can I say? I am that suave. No.
Okay, Rico.
Okay, where was I going with this? I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, you talked about the spirit attached itself to the Reverend,
right.
And then he got jacked up, and then they go to... Oh, so that's when... Okay, so Dean's looking for the unmarked grave. All that stuff happens.
Yeah, they saw him burns the bones. He's like, why is it still coming after him? We should have killed it. They're like, well... Was there anything else that maybe he was attached to, like a piece of clothing or something?
Yeah.
Something to keep the spirit around. They find out that it was the hook, and it was melted down in prison and forged into something else, which could possibly be anything in the house, I guess, or in the church.
Yeah, there's a lot of cutting back and forth here too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're at the graveyard, you're back to Sam, you're back to Dean burning the bones, you're back to Sam outside of Lori's house. That's when he's looking for it. You cut to Sam outside Lori's house, cut to Dean burning the bones, cut to Sam and Lori. Preacher is seeing a married lady.
And Lori feels that's wrong. He says he preaches morality, and yet he's having an affair with a married woman with a kid, and that they're at their own church, and blah, blah, blah. So she's upset about that. So
that was more cutting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm just irritated.
Irritated.
I know. And then she, Lori thinks she's all like, hey, and goes in to smooch on Sam. And he's like, he totally cock blocks her because he's not ready because, his girlfriend was on the ceiling burning to a crisp. So
just
that
like
was
your old mom.
I know. What the heck? Well, then, they go to the hospital and Sam's talking to the police. And what does Dean show up? And
right.
He's like, hi, brother!
Yeah, and the police make a note of that every time they turn around, the brothers are always in the thick of things. And
yeah, right?
Oh, Sam and Dean, those crazy hooligans.
Right.
So now they...
Well, they had to go back to the library, and they were looking to see what it was, what it could be.
Right.
Guess, but then,
right, and
they go to burn everything.
Right, they realize that it could be anything silver, so they go back to the house and the church, and they pretty much just throwing everything silver into the furnace fire to burn it and to just hopefully get rid of the hook man.
Yeah, it was like they had the Goonies treasure, and they were just throwing it into the fire.
Which I want to make something abundantly clear: the fire. Normal fire pits that we have aren't going to burn silver that quickly or at all. I mean, it's
unless
just,
it is a very pure silver, there's no way. Because most silver is cut with other metals, nickel. Ain't going to happen.
Exactly. Again, I don't know, but I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. I found that very hard to believe because I've tried to burn metal before, and it takes a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
And this is just a matter of seconds. And for the purposes of the television show, whatever.
They just throw a bunch of stuff in there, and then Lori's up in the church, and she starts blaming herself. So we don't see it burn quick there. We just see the boys throwing it into the furnace. But, since she blames herself, the hookman shows up.
and is going to kill her now.
Right, because...
He's attracted to negativity, I guess.
I don't know. I forget what the reason was, but it's, I guess, because she blames herself for all the deaths.
Right, and she even was talking about, like, archangels doing the Lord's work and all this kind of, like, she's getting very meta and just like, no. And Sam's like, no, that's not how it really works.
Right.
So the Hookman attacks them both in the church, and Sam is fighting them off with, you know, the iron poker from the fireplace, and
that would be a good name for you, the Iron Poker.
That's my porn name.
I know. When you wear your tube top with the nipple tassels.
Yes. I get a lot of working gay porn.
Oh my god, I know it. I've seen your ass. It's scary good. Mark has wonderful things to say about it, too. And he's your waxer, right? Shout out to Mark for taking care of that.
Yes. Yes. So anyway.
Sorry. You have a big girl's night out.
Super. Thanks for asking. All right. So they... Oh my god!
David,
easily thrown off the track.
So Sam's like waving his iron rod around, yeah. And then they get knocked down. Dean shows up,
but
shoots
up
the
again.
Rock ball. Yeah, yeah, he gets it. Well, iron rod doesn't stay down.
So Sam realizes it's a necklace. Dean comes running in. They switch things. They do this awesome like throw and catch. He throws him the shotgun with the extra salt, and he throws him the necklace.
But dude, did you notice like when he took the necklace from her? It wasn't just a nice little yank. Like Sam totally grabbed her boob. Like he was in it. He's like in it to win it. He's like, I'm gonna take this and I'm gonna take that with me. Have a little piece of that. Sure, you miss Stacy.
Yeah, it's been a few months, okay?
It's been a few months. Yeah, I know.
And when you look like that, you're used to getting on a regular basis, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'd let him.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
I know.
Well, not me personally, but, you know, I...
No, I'm not going to let you.
No,
I mean, like, yeah.
I'll have a beer with him, but that's about as far as it's going to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, the old iron rod.
Okay.
Only has eyes for one, aside from Mark.
Yes, me and Mark have a bromance going.
I know.
Dean comes back. They're all safe. They find the fire melts the metal, and it burns up the hook man. Next morning, Dean is being questioned by the sheriff, and he confirms they all saw the same man with the hook, and they scared him off, and he ran away. They both ensure that the sheriff, that they'll never be coming back, and they'll be leaving this town in their taillights. Basically the same thing as what they said to the other sheriff in Dead in the Water. Before
yeah,
he died.
Well, and then Sam's talking to the girl while he's doing that, and they get in the car, and Dean looks in the rearview mirror, and he goes, well, we could stay.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
She's not worth it.
Yeah. He's got to save that sweet piece for later on in the season when it really needs it.
Nice.
Yes, there's a really...
Like, I copped my feel. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah, there's another great episode that I really enjoyed, but it's much better than this episode later on in the season. But anyway, so Dean offers Sam that they could stay, and Sam just shakes his head, and they drive off into the distance and the sunset, or whatever, mid-morning. So... Yeah, so that's the long and short of the Hookman.
Literally.
And, yeah, like we said, not a fantastic episode, a very run-of-the-mill kind of, I wouldn't say bomb-of-the-barrel, but close to bomb-of-the-barrel episode for this season. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts and feelings on it, Katie?
No, I think, honestly, it had a lot more potential. Like, it could have been better, but... Seriously, I took notes for this because I had watched it a couple of times.
Yes.
And then when I watched it more recently, this past weekend, I think it was, I noticed how fast they were jumping back and forth, and that really, really bothered me, because you don't see that in a lot of things, and I think when you jump quickly between things, between scenes, you lose things, mm-hmm. and then, like, not only are you losing things from the show, and you also lose the attention of the viewer. Because I was more likely to get up, go get something to drink, or take a pee break, or pay attention to something my kid was waving in my face, mm-hmm. than I was to the episode. Because it's like, it's moving back and forth all over. What's the point of paying attention anyways?
You know, that honestly makes sense. I found it really hard to, after watching it, I mean, I watched it when it first aired, and it was fine, but trying to rewatch it, I found it very hard to concentrate, because it was just very, like, you know, like haphazard, like just...
Mm-hmm.
Just it's crazy, but you know, that is the episode. You know, not every episode is going to be a home run, and this was basically a ground out at second base. So
right
to use baseball, yeah. Baseball euphemisms.
No, like not even like first base, because he got a boob feel. I feel like that is that first base.
Well, yeah.
Is that second base? Well, I don't know.
Well, if was it over the? It was over the close. So.
Over, yeah. So, yeah. First base,
yeah.
Mm. See, it wasn't even good enough to get to second base. Yeah,
so stranded at first.
Yeah, sorry.
So yeah, I mean, aside of the few jokes that Sam and Dean make, and the more acknowledgement that they're still searching for their father, there was really not much for us to really sink our teeth into this episode. So I give it not a thumbs up, not a thumbs down per se, but definitely a thumbs strictly in the middle, leaning towards bottom, a thumbs down. So I what you give, thumbs up, thumbs down?
You know, if I was like a rotating thumb, say thumbs up, thumbs the middle, thumbs down, this would be like middle going towards down,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It'd be like, I don't know, right around, if I was doing it on the left side of the clock, I feel like it would be right about like 35, like 635, 640, you know?
That's oddly specific.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of like, you know, thumbs up, that's noon, yeah. Halfway it's 9, go all the way down at 6.
Yeah.
It would be like a 7 o'clock, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. So maybe 7:45. I don't know.
So definitely not an 8.1 out of 10 possible stars.
No. Not at all. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I said
out of 10, absolutely not. That's insane.
Yeah, like I said, not really a fan of this episode. If it's on TBS or TNT, I just kind of usually I don't ever, you know, skip over an episode, but usually that's the one of them I'll skip over, you know.
Yeah. And if they're running, like, if they were running, like, a bunch of different episodes, like, on TNT or something.
Like a marathon, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, they weren't in order necessarily or whatever, I would be like, okay, I'm watching, and then that episode were to come on, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be in and out of the room, I'm going to be switching laundry, getting something to drink, you know, doing something for the kids, cooking dinner at the same time, because it really,
yes.
It didn't hold my attention. And I counted the total amount of cuts, it's 19.
Wow.
Yeah, for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I would do the math and average that out, but I really don't care.
You're not going to do your fraction song?
Oh, flip it and reverse it. Is it worth it? Let me work it. Put your fraction down, flip it, and reverse it. That's for dividing fractions. So this would be, I don't know, so 45 divided by 19 cuts equals, you're getting, like, so it like averages out to about 2 minutes and 30 seconds between cuts.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. But, like I said, I don't really have much else to say about this other than, you know, I like the music, some of the music they use in here. And,
yeah.
And I'll get into that just right now. There were 9 songs that were used, and thanks to TuneFind.com for their effort in compiling the lists for all the songs of every single episode. The first one was Merry-Go-Round by Split Habit. Second was Bang Your Head by Quiet Riot. Noise by Lo-Five, At Rest by APM. Rylan Bethlehem by APM, You Do It to Me by Paul Richards, Peace of Mind by Boston, Dancing on a Wire by Key Grip, and Rock You Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions. Yeah.
Good stuff. I love me some Boston. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, Boston's good. I also like the Scorpions too. The Scorpions.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking.
Here I am. That was probably Ellie's best. The favorite part of the episode was that song because she loves that song.
It was probably my favorite episode, part of the episode too, because it's near the end. I think so. Wait a minute. Maybe it's when they were driving to the town. Anyway.
Well, this was the thing, like. When this episode was over, I was all Friday all over it. I was like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
Sad to see it go at all.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny because I remember watching this episode when I would be running on the treadmill at the gym. and I would come on TNT. I'm like, oh, no, now I'm stuck here for 42 minutes as I run. I'm like, no, not this episode. I need one but this one.
You gotta click it to HGTV or something, man.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, Supernatural was my jam when I used to work out, when I used to run on the treadmill every day. Now I can't run on the treadmill, like, at all.
Because you're old?
I'm old. My knees are shot, so I do the elliptical now. Now, that's the true old people exercise. the elliptical. It's like doing cross-country skiing. Anyway.
You're such a wuss.
Yeah, and then I go do my arms and my chest and my legs.
I know. You really should stop losing weight because you are really, really getting thin.
Oh, yeah, well, now I'm just trying to maintain. Okay, so we have five fun facts. Now, this episode was based on two different urban legends, the Hook Killer and the Lover's Lane Killer. So that was kind of interesting that they try to do that,
combine those two.
Yeah. And then let's see here. What else we have got? This was originally set to air after Wendigo. However, Eric Kripke felt the episode wasn't scary enough, so he allowed director David Jackson more time to build in some more scares by bumping it down the schedule. Three, this is one of Eric Kripke's least favorite episodes, so we're on the same page there.
You know what, and the thing is that Dead in the Water wasn't a great episode.
No.
So, I mean, giving this to, episode 7 versus episode 3, they both kind of sucked.
Yeah, he made the right call, but do you want to be kicked in the balls or punched in the face? I mean,
yeah.
Number four, Jared Padalecki, Sam, and Brian Scala. Rich played buddies on Gilmore Girls in 2003. So, and I looked that up. I'm like, I don't remember because I did watch the Gilmore Girls. I don't remember that. Must have been just for an episode. But Rich was the boyfriend of Lori, who got killed in the opening scene.
You will not believe this, but I have never watched that show. And are like, look at me like I lived under a rock. But it's like,
And people look at me like two heads when I watch it because it's a girl show. So, but
well, like Dawson's Creek and stuff, I never watched any of that crap.
Yeah, I had a funny story about Gilmore Girls. My wife, Christina, loved that show. So I used to fall asleep in front of the TV all the time with it when she would have it on. And then one day at the gym, I'm like, well, I've watched everything else that I want to see currently. So I threw it on, and I got hooked. I'm not going to lie, I got hooked. But it's not bad. You know, it's a time waster, so it was okay. Okay, finally, number five, Sam and Dean are leaving the sheriff's office. Dean says, I talked the sheriff down to a fine. Dude, I'm Matlock. Well, for all you millennials out there and all the people younger than us, Matlock was a 1980s TV show about a criminal defense lawyer played by Andy Griffith from Mayberry. And if you don't know who what Mayberry is, Google it. So, do you have anything else to say, Katie, in regards to the Hookman?
I don't think so. I'm questioning Matlock. That was Andy Griffith?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty
sure. Did you check these facts?
I'm like 99% sure.
Oh, yeah. You know why? I was like, no, wait, that's not him. It was because the Andy Griffith show, he was so much thinner, and then he got old and fat. So that why I was like, wait, I remember.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. Well, before we get into the infestation that is our next episode, Bugs, let us pause for our final Speakeasy Podcast Network commercial break with the fine and funny gents over at Sequel This.
Motherfucker! Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Dave.
Okay.
What?
What do you mean, what? Why do you sound slutty?
I was trying something new. You didn't like it?
No. No, I did not. Did you think it sounded good?
And this is Dave.
Boy. All right, we're from Sequel This, a show where we attempt to write sequels to some of your favorite movies, such as Ghostbusters 3, Goonies 2, and Gremlins 3.
Well, you can check out all of our shows over at sequelthis.podbean.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all the major pod places.
And if you can't find an episode that interests you, or you have a great suggestion, or a pitch yourself, we want to hear it from you. So please, email us at sequelthis@gmail.com and drop us a line.
And remember to flesh it out.
What's wrong with you?
Everything and nothing.
You're a smart motherfucker, that's right.
Those motherfuckers are motherfucking hilarious. Ah, gotta love those guys. Okay, let's roll the commercial trailer for Bugs.
Tuesday, fresh supernatural. Something has disturbed.
Oh, God.
What is it that could make different bugs attack?
What lies beneath the surface?
Something's coming. Go, before it's too late.
Go, go, go!
Fresh Supernatural on the WB Tuesday.
Oh. So, yeah. That's Bugs! Okay. Bugs, directed by Kim Manners, written by Rachel Navvy and Bill Coakley, with an original air date of November 8th, 2005. And the current internet movie database rating is about a 7.1. Well, 7.1. Alright, so, after a construction worker for a new housing development dies in a sinkhole, his brain dissolving within minutes, the brothers head to Oasis Plains, Oklahoma to investigate. There, they learn of mysterious bug-related deaths in the town. After doing research, they discover that the land under development was the site of a Native American settlement erased by the U.S. cavalry massacres in the early 19th century, and that the chief laid a curse on the land as he died. Sam and Dean determine that the curse will reach its climax that night and race to warn the family living there as swarms of insects attack. They are able to fight off the bugs and survive through the night, and the insects leave at sunrise. The site is shut down temporarily as the boys discover an unmarked Native American grave, and the developer whose family they saved from the bugs decide to make sure it remains shut down. So that's Bugs in a nutshell.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that the curse might have reached its climax, but I certainly didn't with this episode.
Ooh, TMI. Yeah, neither did I. But yes.
Wah, wah. Yeah, I kind of felt like this episode was a little bit of a sinkhole.
Yeah, pun intended.
I mean, it was, yeah.
It was... And which is strange, because Kim Manners was such a great director, and he directed many episodes of X-Files, and he directed quite a few in the early stages of Supernatural before he passed away. But this is just wow. This was a big old turd that they just laid out there for everyone to see. Ugh.
Well, and I don't even think it was, like, the directing. It just wasn't a great story.
No.
You know,
It felt to me, like a little too poltergeisty, you know, from the old Poltergeist movie, with being built on an Indian burial ground or settlement that, you know, that there's some sort of curse and, like,
you're giving it too much credit.
I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, it's not very good. This is the second episode in a row that, honestly, if you thought Hookman was bad, just Bugs is like, hold my beer.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm going to clean the house right now because,
This was just, it just felt.
Even in the beginning when after the, you know, the guy falls in the sinkhole and then Sam and Dean like, are, you know, is this a case or not? It's like, I think this whole episode struggles to be a case.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And here's the thing. It's like there are two moments that I really that I liked. One was we finally get to see after the the initial gotcha moment at the very beginning of the movie, the episode to pull you in. We see Sam sitting outside of a bar or a roadhouse, and we see Dean coming out counting money like he had just won. He just won at poker, because they've mentioned that previously, but this is the first time you actually see him coming out with money like he just won it off of a poker or darts or
pool. I think he was scamming pool or something.
Right, exactly. So this is that was kind of a neat moment that I liked. That they just kind of threw in there, and the other one was where they pull up to the Oasis Plains and they're throwing a barbecue for people that are potential home buyers, and that everybody thinks that these two brothers are a couple.
Yeah. And, that was super fun.
Yeah, I really loved how they corrected the developer first, and then when the sales lady came. Dean just went with it and says, "I'll see you later, honey." And he slaps butt and he goes, talks to the developer.
Right. That was pretty. Yeah. Like I did. Well, we accept anybody of any race or creed
sexual
or
orientation.
Orientation. I was like, right.
Yeah.
They had some, there were some good lines in here and, it was, I don't know. I think it was shot well. I think the boys did a great job. I just feel like the story was lacking somewhere. And some of the special effects I found were
extremely
lacking.
The CGIs were really, really bad here. I mean, it looked like they ran out of some cash. And...
Right. And because he did such a great job when they did the episode with the – what do you call that when they – Oh my God! Why can't I think of it?
Skin.
Yes.
Skin, and even skin. Bloody Mary. You know.
Yeah.
With some of the practical effects, and from what I don't hear about the budget for the episode, or if they were running short on funds, but there is in the final climactic scene where they're in the attic, and they actually released like 60,000 bees. And it was real bees, but they didn't really show up on camera. So that's why they had to put like more of the CGI in there to amplify that. And I'm like, that wasn't as hokey. That didn't seem as hokey. But I'll tell you the hokey part was when the real estate agent, the one who bought the property next to the developer, Linda Bloom. The character Linda Bloom, when she's trying to get into the shower, and there's this big, massive spider that falls on her face. It's not like a daddy long legs. It's like this is like something like a huge ass tarantula. Like, and she just brushes off her face, and it's like she goes on about her day. Something like that, you know, pops up on my lap. I am running and screaming like a little girl through a wall to get away from it.
That's because you are a little girl.
I am a little girl. I am a pretty little girl.
I probably get more freaked out by those giant ants that are like, hey. It's summertime. I'm out, man. I'm in your house. Yeah. And if that is like crawling on my arm as opposed to like a friggin' spider in the corner,
Yeah, I don't dig spiders and I don't do snakes.
Oh, really?
I hate snakes. I hate spiders. I hate anything creepy crawly.
Okay, Indiana Jones.
I'm sorry, I do. That and sharks.
I've got a herpetologist that lives down the street from me, so I've hung out with the snakes before.
They don't have feet. It's the devil.
They don't have feet.
Or legs. Well,
would you rather have them like centipedes or something or millipedes?
Okay, yeah, that's creepy. that falls under creepy crawly. I don't like those either.
I know, right? They might have had me if they had some of those on this show, but they didn't.
But again,
as far as like creep factor. Yes.
But okay, and then where she gets in the shower, and then the spiders come out. The spiders come out of the shower. That effect looks so cheesy, even. It just felt very cheesy and very.
It's
off.
So bad.
Yeah.
The kids are like, "What are they doing?" Like my kids notice that they don't pay attention to me or anything really.
Right.
And they're like, "What? Those spiders look so fake, Mom." I'm like, "Yeah, they. That's because they are."
Yeah. And then the boys are before that even happens. The boys are introduced to. Linda Bloom at the barbecue, but then
right.
Sam also we're also introduced to the son, played by, I forget his name right now, I'm looking it up right now, Tyler Johnson, Matt Pike, who looks at, when I first saw him, I had to take a double take because I thought it was the kid that was on Bates Motel and is now on The Good Doctor.
Oh, right.
His name is escaping me at the moment. But anyway, I thought it was him for like a split second. I'm like, no, that's not him. But anyway, Tyler Johnson's character, Matt Pike, puts a tarantula on the table at the party, trying to scare her. And Sam thinks possibly that Tyler may be controlling these insects that killed Linda through something like what was the character that controlled the rats in the story in the old stories.
Oh, like a Pied Piper?
Yeah, kind of. There's an actual. I'm really drawing a blank on that too. So, if anybody knows, feel free to email us.
Just drop by the Facebook page, Man of Letters, and just tell Tim he's wrong because it happens.
Anyway, I think it's a really different, really easy name, like Howard or Humphrey or something. Anyway, but it's about the guy that controls the rats with his minds. Anyway.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do know. I was like, oh, like the Pied Piper from like the fairy tales. And I think there's like a movie from
there's a movie and I believe a book or a series of books. But yeah, but for the life of me, it's a goddamn name that escapes me right now. So I digress. Anyway, the boys, Sam and Dean, think that Tyler could be controlling these things. So they even scope out Tyler at one point. Because Tyler also is not getting along with his dad, because his dad thinks he's a freak, kind of like what
Willard.
Willard, there you go. Thank you. Holy Christ! Anyway, okay. So you interrupted me. So where am I going with this, Katie?
I don't know. I'm just a jerk. I just wanted to tell you that you were here. Oh. This is the information you needed.
Thank you. That's why you were so quiet. you were Googling it.
I don't Google anything. I'm so smart. People ask me instead of Google.
Yes. I don't use Google. I'm married. I have a wife. Just ask her. She knows everything.
Right. Exactly.
So Sam and Dean wait for Matt to get off the bus or stalking him, and they begin to interrogate him because they want to know what happened, what he thinks, what is going on, and basically read him the Riot Act if he's doing something bad, and if he's not, try to figure out what's going on. Tyler's very big Matt's very big into bugs. He doesn't get along with his dad. Sam can relate because of the dynamic that he has with his own father, John.
Yeah.
So, and Dean can relate to the dad and the son, and you know, saying stick with your family, quit being a jerk.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, so we find out that Tyler, I keep calling him by his real name. We find out that Matt doesn't know what's going on, and just recently the bugs have been acting really stir crazy and doing things that are out of the ordinary. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you take it away, Katie? What's next? What happens next?
Well, are you talking about before she gets attacked by the spiders, then?
Well, yeah, I kind of worked backwards a little bit because they're investigating what had happened. Ooh, did an angel get its wings?
No. Cash just left my room. It was amazing. No, that's my special phone thing.
Oh.
No, but I think like they like, you know, they confer over whether or not this kid has the Willard syndrome, but then, you know, so they go back, they cut back to the what's her face in her house, and she's sitting there, this giant spider comes like jumping off of her face, and it's ridiculous because it doesn't even look like a normal spider. It looks like one of those spider rings you get at Halloween where they cut the ring part off. It was just stupid as hell. Then she's like, okay, well, I'm going to take a shower because watching mosquitoes on the TV isn't interesting at all. Because they were talking about how, you know, there's been an increase in some kind of mosquito and bug thing on the television.
Right.
So she gets in the bath, and then she has the super fun spiders coming all over the place, and she screams, breaks the glass on the shower, falls out, and, like, dies, because I guess she cuts herself or something, or hits her head or whatever.
Yeah, blood all over the place, but,
yeah,
you know, I have a sliding glass door shower, and there's really not a, I mean, obviously that shower is a little bit bigger than the one that I have at home, but you have to get a good velocity to try to even knock that thing off the rails.
Well, I mean, and I think a lot of them are, like pressure-treated glass, yeah, so it doesn't shatter.
Right, and most of them also sliding, too, not the open. I know there are some opening closing. Most that are most that I've seen are sliding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've seen a few.
But then again, this is a new housing development, so they may have the extra good, you know, bad glass.
Dude, I've been in shitty motels, and they have the extra bad glass, and I still have not broken through. But, I mean, so anyways, the boys had stayed at one of the models.
Yes, they started because they wanted a steam shower. Now, that was another funny moment where Dean goes, oh, I got to try the steam shower. And then he comes out with
he has a towel on his head because Sam is, like, knocking, and he comes out and he's got a towel on his head.
He looks like a woman.
I know. I love when he has, like, those little lady moments. Because he does. He does all this, like, you know, bro stuff. Like, yeah, I'm a hardcore bro. And then, you know, but he has his lady moments with his towel on his head. And, like, he likes things a certain way, you know?
Yes. He likes his magic fingers and his steam shower.
Exactly. Gotta have it. I'm pretty sure he would like a pedicure if he got one.
I'm pretty sure he has
one. You know. Yeah, he probably. He's probably one of those closet guys that gets a mani-pedi every once in a while.
Yes, yes.
Which I highly recommend. I'm not a big fan of having my toes or anything, nails painted or whatever. But, yeah, go in there and get your feet rubbed.
Yes.
It's good. Scrape the gross off the bottom. It's nice.
Okay.
I'm just imagining me and Dean, like, sitting at the salon. Yeah. Hey, girl. You go get yourself some pink.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you just go with the clear.
Yeah, right.
Linda Bloom is deceased. They've talked they've talked to Matt already. They realize that you know, and there's been after Linda dies, the boys roll up and they went to talk to the developer, but the developer is in no mood to talk.
Yeah.
So
after that, that's when they stop at the stop sign.
Oh.
They see the kid get off the bus, and then they pull over, and then they follow him to wherever he's going, which is, I don't know, where does he go?
He goes going in the forest.
Oh, that's right. And he's like creeping on some, what do you call those? Praying mantis bugs.
Boom.
So, oh my gosh, you're so weird.
I don't like bugs. Kill them all.
They're food for other things, Tim.
Good, then
our ecosystem has a delicate balance, and you cannot do that. Killing the bugs.
Well, can we just get a lot more frogs out there?
Oh my god! Don't you know anything?
No, I don't.
You're going to cause problems.
I pretty much on a daily basis. I'm like a big giant toddler.
I know, right?
Oh.
I don't think you read.
Not very well.
Read a book, Tim.
I try, but it's really hard. But no, anyway. So, so again, we're back in the forest. Sorry, we've kind of doubled back on the story a little bit, but
yeah, because Tim doesn't know where he's going.
I don't. That's what you're here for.
Drives. Yeah,
exactly.
That's why I'm driving.
Yes. Go hop in the front seat. Take over.
I want to look out the window. Careening off of a cliff.
Okay, I'll just play with the AC heat controls. You got this.
No, driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole. And don't mess with the heat. What a bitch. But, you know, so they're in the forest, and they're, you know, talking about bugs and things. And then I don't know if it's then that they kind of realize that, oh, yeah, BT Dubs, it's not, he's not Willard.
Yes.
I think they even reference that in
the Yeah, they do. They do reference Willard. That's why I could, that's why it was killing me, because I couldn't remember it. But I was close with Henry. Yeah. but so they're, as they're talking to Matt, they walk over to like a, well, for lack of a better
clearing.
Word, a clearing, and there's like a sink, well, a sinkhole, a minor sinkhole. If that's a thing, there's no really should be no.
No, it's like a pit. It's not. I mean, it's not even like it's like a, you know, like a gopher hole or something where there's just a, like a divot in the ground.
Yeah, it's about the size of a head.
Yeah, and you know,
and they and Dean takes a stick and he starts poking inside the hole and he finds
like you do.
Yes, yeah, always. He hits something hard. And hollow, and he sticks his hand in the hole. Yeah, this is sexy.
And he pulls out a big skull.
They end up taking it to a local university, and and have a professor look at it. The professor thinks it's an old Indian skeleton remains, depending on the age and where they found it. And they take it to a tribesman. I guess.
Oh, yeah. And so then they come up to this guy, and he's sitting near this older Native American guy. Mm-hmm. And Dean starts to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And he says something like, he wasn't straightforward with the guy at first. And so then and the older guy says, you know, he says something snarky. And then Dean goes, well, truthfully, or the truth is, and then the older Indian man said something about, you know, only liars start their sentences that way.
Yes, yes. I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. And then he talks to Sam, and he's like,
I like
him.
You.
I like.
I'll talk to him. So, and that's when they talk to the old Indian guy. He says his great-grandfather was told him stories about this curse that happens, every year, I want to say.
I don't even think that. I think it was farther apart, right?
I don't know. I think it was. Let me scroll. I'm sorry. I'm going to scroll my notes.
Oh my God! What are you doing?
I just hit my microphone. Sorry. Let's see.
I think they were saying.
Okay. Sorry. During the night of the spring equinox, so many years ago,
as he lay dying,
he put a curse on the land that anybody who was not Native American blood that occupied the land would be killed. And it happens, during the spring equinox, I want to say. So it's got to be happening almost every year. But it normally doesn't happen because that land had been vacant for a long time. And then they started building stuff, and that's when people started dying. At least that's how I understand my notes.
I'm saying that the chief of the village, on the sixth night he lay dying, he whispered to the heavens that no white man would ever tarnish this land again. Nature would rise up and protect the valley, and it would bring as many days of misery and death to the white man as the cavalry had brought upon them.
Correct.
So because, you know, he told the story about how the cavalry came and, you know, they raped and they pillaged and, you know, and they kept coming back.
They find out that this, tonight is the sixth night, and this is when all hell breaks loose, so to speak, and will kill anybody. These bugs, or these animals, or insects would kill anything that's on the property.
And you're right about the spring equinox, because Sam says, "Oh, that's the spring equinox." Mm-hmm. That's why, he put it together. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So basically, realize that they need to get this family out of the house for at least 12 hours. So Sam immediately calls, Matt.
Yeah.
And he's talking to Matt saying, you have got to get out of the house. Tell your folks you've got a stomach pain and you want to go to the hospital.
Oh, no. Sam tells him to tell the truth.
Dean.
And then Dean tells him to lie.
Yes. And
so, because my dad won't listen, blah, blah, blah.
So they pull up to the house and they realize. Then Dean calls, I want to say, the father, or he talks to the father on the phone, right?
And he tells him that he's from the gas company and that they got to get out because there's a leak. And he goes, "Oh, I know him from the gas company. We worked together for a year." He goes, "You're not him." And then he's like, "You got to get out of the house."
Right.
"You're going to die."
You're going to die. Well, so, and it was funny because they were talking about, you know, the curse. And Sam is like, "Well, how do you stop a curse?" And Dean's like, you don't.
You get out of its way.
That was like another one of my favorite lines. But, you know, they figure out how to break curses later on in the...
Almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah. In the further seasons, it's like, you know, when you hang out with witches and shit, you figure it out.
Yes. Oh. Yes. So they get to the house. But they realize by the time they get to the house and they try to get out of town, it's too late. They can hear the buzzing and they can see the swarms coming in the skies. And we're talking of creatures of every shape and size with these, from bees to termites to wasps.
Beetles and cockroaches even, I think. Just everything.
Yeah, kind of creepy crawly you can imagine starts popping out of the ground and flying in the sky. They run into the house. They start... They
plug up the doors and the windows.
And the fireplace shoots and everything, and these things are still coming in. They're blanking the house, so they can't get there's no cell reception, so they're basically being cut off. So the bees, what did they first do, break through the chimney sweep or the flue of the chimney? I forget how they actually get in the house. I know that they do get in the house.
I think they do get in through the fireplace, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
But then they all run upstairs and they lock themselves in, and
Sam and Dean get the bug spray.
Yeah. And with the lighter and, you know, their tiny little blowtorch.
Yeah. So he starts just fire blasting all these things everywhere. Now this is, we're getting very towards the end. This is the last 2 minutes of the episode. And this is one of the major gripes I had with it. They've built this whole thing up so fast, and they're fighting the bees, and they're fighting the hornets and whatever else is breaking through, because they're in the termites are eating the ceiling.
What's that noise? It's the termites.
So they're actually coming in through the ceiling now because they've eaten through the roof, and they're
it kind of looks like when the termites are eating through the roof, like the pattern is almost like a smiley face. It's kind of funny.
So, my thing is that they're battling, and this battle doesn't look. I mean, I know time has elapsed, and I know in television shows, you know, you can go through many hours and a few minutes, but it doesn't seem to be any kind of time lapse editing going on here, because they break through the top of the ceiling, and all of a sudden, oh my god, and then the sunlight comes out, and it's like, oh, we won. The bugs fly away, and that was it. I'm like, that was fucking hokey.
It was too fast. If they shot that part a little bit different, I could see, I feel like maybe they could have built it up a little bit slower, and then they would have had more time in the attic, or they would have done it. So if they're in their attic, they did a cutaway or something to outside, and then came in, and then stuff started to really get going as they came in through.
Right.
I would have it would have been more believable as far as time.
Right.
Because it's they show up, it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
And then all the bugs come, and then
exactly.
It's crazy.
They show up 2 minutes later, they're in the house fighting the bugs, and another 30 seconds later, they're upstairs in the attic, and they've beaten the bugs, and they've made it to dawn, and and the sun's coming up, and all of a sudden you hear it's kind of like the bees all whoop, and they're all gone. Right. You like those sound effects?
Whoop, yeah. Exactly. Effing cartoon.
Yeah, so that's bugs, and I hated it.
Yeah.
For the most part. Except for those two parts that I thought were pretty funny. Yeah. Yep. I did not like this episode at all. When this episode comes on, I just kind of skip, or I skip over it, or if it's on a DVD, I'll just go around it. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. And there's
there's only probably about 4 or 5 episodes I feel like that so far in this entire series run of the 13 seasons going on. The 14th season. It's just been renewed, ladies and gentlemen. So
14. Yeah.
14. Yeah, buddy.
Big deal.
Yeah. Longest running CWWB TV show. It's the last of the old WB network.
Try saying that 5 times fast. CWWB.
Yeah. When they used to have the Dancing Frog, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Love that.
Yeah.
You've been on the frogs a lot today. Like, is it the bugs that you're...
Yeah, as much as I don't like snakes and bugs, I don't mind frogs and turtles. It's just me. It doesn't make any sense.
You don't make any sense, so it makes perfect sense.
Oh.
Ooh, I'm always picking on you. Too bad for you.
Yeah. It's all right. I deserve it. I deserve it all. no. Anyway, so, yeah, that was Bugs. And I really don't have too much else to say about it.
No, what was the rating that they gave it again?
I believe, check my internet movie database real quick here. They gave this one a 7.1 out of 10. So... lower than the previous week's episode, but 7.1 is still kind of high for this episode. Now, again, this is Internet Movie Database users ratings, but yeah, it says out of 3,506 raters, it averages 7.1 rating.
That's generous.
I'm like, yeah. Not a fan of this episode, and it's not even the worst one I hate. So, and that's coming up later.
Oh my god! Well, and so like you know, so I complained about the Hookman episode, the over like cutting and stuff, the back and forth. What was it like? I don't know what I said, 19 times like that.
Well, yeah, 19.
So
times.
When you get to this episode, I think the direction was good. It was just. It really lacked something. Whereas, like, the Hookman story was good, but the direction was terrible. If they just would have just maybe...
So if you put Kim Manners directing that last episode...
Yeah, I think it would have gone a lot better.
Yeah. Like I said, I gave Hookman a thumbs in the middle because while it didn't do anything for me... it wasn't like a really great episode. It didn't totally suck.
No.
This, in my opinion, just totally sucked.
This was a hard pass.
Yeah, I'm like, and it's just this marks the second week in a row that the episodes have gone down in quality. Fear not, it'll be back up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they return from their break, I believe. I believe there's a break in there. I forget the timeline here for the air dates, original air dates, but
Bugs was on November 18th, and then the next following episode was the 15th.
Okay.
So there's the next one's called Home.
Okay.
And then which that ties them back to their childhood home, mm-hmm. and then the one after that is Asylum. Where they come to Rockford, Illinois. So that's not too far from us. Yeah. Well, you, it's far from me.
But it used to be us. I used to be where you are.
You used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you ditched me. Twin City bullshit.
Yeah, well, them's the breaks.
I know, right? Well, I don't think the next two episodes will be too bad. No. I just... especially the one, directed by Eric Kripke?
Yes.
And I really love him. Or it was written by Eric Kripke, excuse me.
I don't want to give too much away, but it's a definite, well, too much of my opinion away right now, but it's a definite uptick from these last two episodes.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned to episode 5.
Yeah. Yeah, but, sorry we did such a shitty job this time, but it really wasn't us.
Yeah. It's, well, hey, you work with what you got, right? Hey.
Yeah. I know. Speaking from experience, I know.
Hey.
Ooh, wah, wah, wah.
Ooh. You know I edit this show, right?
Whatever. Do you? Do you really?
No, I just kind of put music at the beginning.
That's my thought. You like stumble over words and then you're like, I'm going to edit that. And then I'm like, no, he's not. No, no, he's not.
Ooh. Katie fell off a cliff? Oh, no.
Shh. There's no cliffs over here.
Oh, God.
It's likely to be pushed into a pond by Drew Peterson. Oh, hi, Stacey. What's up?
Oh, God.
Too soon? Sorry.
Yeah. It was only the late, 90s?
I don't know.
Anyway, so if you don't know who Drew Peterson is, Google him. He was a dirty cop in Bolingbrook, Illinois, ages ago. Anyway, the music used in this episode, there were five great classic songs here. Well, actually, two, and the rest were, I don't know, somebody else.
Not so great songs.
Well, not classic songs, in my opinion. Oh. So, okay, the five songs that were used in this episode was Rock of Ages by Def Leppard.
Oh, that was one of the best things about this episode, because I love me some Def Leppard.
Yes. I Got More Bills Than I Got Pay by Sonny Ellis, which we can all relate to that. number three, Poke in the Butt by Mark Risman and Dave Rodriguez. No. I'm sorry. The artist is Bernie Martson. Number four.
I don't think those guys are going to appreciate that shit.
Oh, God. The four, Medusa by Bob Reynolds. And five, No One Like You by the Scorpions.
So yeah, that was another one. I like the Scorpions.
Yes, the Scorpions and Def Leppard are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I have four fun facts. We talked about this before, but those are real bees featured in the episode. Jensen Eccles was the first to get stung, which amused Jared Padalecki enormously. Eccles got his revenge shortly after when Padalecki sat down on a bee and was stung, and it stung his rib. And approximately 60,000 bees were used in the attic scene. Unfortunately, they were unseen on camera, so CGI was still used in order to see the bees on screen. Number three, this shouldn't surprise anyone, but alongside Hookman, this is one of Eric Crickby's least favorite episodes of the first season. Well, color me shocked. And number four, when Sam complains that wanting to go back to school and be normal that made him a freak, Dean says, you were kind of like that blonde chick in The Munsters. The Munsters was a 1960s TV satire about a family of normal working class monsters whose niece isn't a monster and therefore an oddity to the family. So that's what I got for the fun facts for the bugs. So, any closing thoughts on bugs, Katie?
No, like I said before, this is a hard pass. You know, might leave it on, might turn it off if it comes on, like, you know, the reruns channel or whatever. But yeah, it's a solid thumbs down.
Yeah, if I'm watching on Netflix, I'm skipping over it. Or if it's on a disc, I'll skip over that.
Yeah, because we, like, seriously, it was really difficult for us to get this put together. Like, we just, you know, Tim and I had to jump through so many hoops to actually get this episode done. And I feel like it was the curse of the bugs. Hookman thing. And it just would not go away. And so having to watch bugs
and
again.
Here's the thing: is this episode was planned for, like, I don't know, the beginning of what?
Like May? March or something?
I think
maybe?
It was May.
Really?
Yeah, I think I want to say maybe the end of May. Anyway, so it's been a while,
dude. We just ended May. We're like into June, like 4 days.
So you think was it April, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so either the middle of April, end of April, but due to scheduling conflicts and computers not working and microphones not working and, you know, a plethora of other nonsense. Shenanigans that we won't bore you guys with, but... this is it, guys. We're moving on. Bugs and, like you said,
Thank
the curse of bugs and Hookman is over. We are moving on to Home and Asylum, and we hope to have that out much, much quicker than we had this episode out. So stay tuned if you want to watch along with us. So pop in Home and Asylum. That'll be coming up very shortly.
So I want to say it's a thumbs down from me for Bugs and a thumbs down for you too, Katie.
Yep.
All right.
Thumb it.
So tonight, guys, you've heard commercials from the Junk Drawer Podcast and Sequel This. We sincerely hope that you give these other great programs at the Speakeasy Podcast Network a listen. They all can be found at the Speakeasy Podcast Network. .tumblr.com, where talk is cheap and so are we. So, in closing, we all hope you enjoyed this episode of MOL, and we'll tune in next time where we'll be covering, like we said, episode 9, Home, and episode 10, Asylum. So feel free to watch along with us as we continue down the road with Sam and Dean. And as always, if you have questions or comments, feel free to email us at menofletterssupernatural@gmail.com.
Son of a bitch!
Ah, jerk!
Bitch.
All right. From Tim and Katie, have a great night.
So long.
Farewell. Avita saying something?
No. Stop. Just okay. No.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Men of Letters.